Okay, all right then. So let's start with the Metta Sutta. This is what should be done by one who is skilled in goodness and who knows the path of peace. Let them be able and upright, straightforward and gentle in speech, humble and not conceited, contented and easily satisfied, unburdened with duties, and frugal in their ways, peaceful and calm, and wise and skillful, not proud and demanding in nature. Let them not do the slightest thing that the wise would later reprove, wishing in gladness and in safety. May all beings be happy, whatever living beings there may be, whether they are weak or strong, omitting none, the great or the mighty, medium, short or small, the seen and the unseen, those living near and far away, those born and to be born, may all beings be happy. Let none deceive another or despise any being in any state. Let none through anger or ill will wish harm upon another, even as a mother protects with her life her child, her only child, so with a boundless heart should one cherish all living beings, radiating kindness over the entire world, spreading upwards to the skies and downwards to the depths, outwards and unbounded, freed from hatred and ill will, whether standing or walking, seated or lying down, free from drowsiness. One should sustain this recollection. This is said to be the sublime abiding by not holding two fixed views, the pure-hearted one, having clarity of vision, being freed from all sense desires, is not born again into this world. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Thank you, Mali. Thank you, Venerable. If the timing for tonight is that you introduce us to how to meditate and then do a guided meditation around 7:30, and then maybe give us a talk around 8:00, and if there's time left for questions, we'll do that. Is that okay?
Yeah, sure, yeah.
Over to you. Thank you.
Okay. Actually, is there anyone who's never meditated here before?
Most people have been with this group before, except for Alyssa is new tonight.
Oh, okay. So meditation is, I think, as you probably heard it, it's about relaxing your mind, right? And what also does, it also relaxes your body as well, because mind and body are so sort of interdependent, right? So one affects the other, you know. And if you're tired, you probably sometimes cannot think straight, right? You forget things, right? And if you have too many kind of too much stress, you know, too much going on, you know, people tend to get sick, you know, or they have certain illnesses sort of like come into the body, you know. So they affect each other so much. So that's why it's really important that we should pay much importance to meditation. So it's actually quite simple to meditate, but normally people find it hard because our normal conditioning, you know. Meditation, we just let things be, you know. So you kind of like try to stay in the present moment, but it's hard for most people because we are so used to doing things. We want to make an effort, right? Want to strive, you know. But the mental world is different than the physical world, right? And meditation, especially kind of like from looking from the dharmic perspective, is about understanding, wisdom. When you understand things, things become calmer. But in the outside world, we kind of try to work things out in a physical way by effort, right? You know, doing this, thinking a lot, you know. And that's how you kind of like solve most of your problems out in the world, you know. But in the meditation, it's different, right? I think the first kind of step is to allow your mind and body to relax, right? And after a while, when your mind and body, you know, gets energized enough, then things starts to happen, right? But we generally gets pretty restless, especially beginners, right? It's hard to keep your eyes closed, you know. And I remember when I started meditating, I went kind of like a hardcore, I went to Vipassana, right? I never meditated before. That was an ascent Goenka tradition, right? 9-10 day retreat. So where they do is they don't go gentle like Ajahn Brahm, right? So, okay, your introduction is you listen to a talk and you sit there 1 hour straight without moving. They keep tell you again and again that you shouldn't move, you know. You should sort of like stay in one posture, right? And if you move, you will disturb others, right? So that was like in the morning, 1 hour. And then there were like, I don't know how many sessions they were, like at least 3-4 sessions. Compulsory, and then they kind of like, you know, then the manager comes if you find you are kind of like, you know, walking or lying on your bed, they go to your dormitories and they say, oh, you know, they put your hand up, it's like, oh, we don't sort of like sleep in the afternoon, you know, so you should go to the Dhamma hall and meditate, right? So then after the first day, I was like, oh my goodness, I want to run away from the place, right? But then later on, you kind of like persevere, you know? And the most kind of enjoyable part in that retreat was listening to the Dhamma discourses in the evening, right? You get to hear some of the teachings of the Buddha, and they were really inspiring, right? So that kind of gives you boost and energy, right? So once you get this kind of like, you know, layout, that how you kind of like how it works. But if you just force yourself, your mind wants to run away, right? So you should go in the beginning gentle with your mind, right? So if you are a beginner, maybe to come here to Vamadeva, do half an hour meditation, then continue your practice at home, maybe at least 15 minutes, not days, regularly every day, right? So you, after a while, after a week or 2 weeks, then you start to see the difference, right? So you go gentle. When you start to see the difference, you feel more relaxed, right? Your mind tend to incline. You'll say, your mind will tell you, hey, it's probably good to meditate, right? Right? When you know there is some incentive, you know. That's what you, how you train the pets, right? Right? You ask them to do something and they know they'll do it because they're gonna get some treat in the end, right? That's what meditation is like, right? You encourage your mind that, hey, you know, I'll feel happy and relaxed afterwards, energized, right? So that's how the approach should be, you know. Otherwise, if you say, oh, I'm gonna sit here for 1 hour, I'm gonna get enlightened. But that means you're using too much, you know, willpower. You're using too much force rather than understanding things. Right? And in Buddhist teaching, like, you know, normally actually with the biography of the Buddha, they kind of say that. I heard it from people who are not even Buddhist. They say, oh, Buddha said, he made a determination that he won't get up for, you know, until he gets enlightened, you know. That's how you meditate. It's like, no. He probably had a lot of good samadhi before, you know. And he would go into jhana, so he wasn't thinking at all. It's not a beginner's process, right? So he had that lot of momentum, you know. You cannot decide, if you are a beginner, that how long you're going to sit. It becomes unbearable. I know from my experience as a lay person. So you shouldn't put all these sort of like goals, which is going to give you difficult time. You know, you'll say, okay, maybe 10 minutes, then see how we go. And slowly, slowly, you build it up. And also, another important thing is to inspire yourself, right? So your first inspiration would be that you're going to feel energized and relaxed, right? And slowly, slowly, you can incorporate Buddha's teachings, which would give you more incentive, right? So there are a lot of inspiring things. About the Buddha's teachings. So you'll say, you know, talk about the right view, how thinking good thoughts, you know, you're having good intentions, you know, what are the benefits of those? You know? So before you actually sit and meditate, you know, think about the good things, you know, what you've been, maybe in your week or your day, what good things have you done, right? And when you think about the good things, you know, your mind becomes happy. It inclines, you kind of pushing your mind in a certain direction, right? In the direction of happiness, which kind of like, you know, makes your mind calmer. But if you think about sort of other thoughts, which of, I don't know, going shopping, you know, or, you know, having a meeting or work, you know, which makes your mind probably more restless, you know. More thoughts would come, so your mind would go out in the world. You don't want to do that, you know. You want to think about things which makes it calmer, right? Or thoughts about generosity, right? Or having a good sort of like morality, yeah? And so that's actually kind of like the basic thing, you know. All you need to do is then just sit down, you know, and have your mind focus on the body first, you know, let it relax, you know, pay your attention to the body, you know, and then you move into the mental world, which is quite important, you know, because meditation is all about the mental world, you know, and your attitude towards it and everything. Yeah. So now maybe we can start meditating. Yeah. So we'll do some meditation now. So I would ask all of you to have a comfortable posture, right? So we first close our eyes first. By closing your eyes, you cut out so many distractions for the mind. So your meditations becomes easier. Now we bring our attention to the body, your posture. So if you need to adjust your posture, please do so. I'm adjusting my feet. So you can be comfortable for half an hour or so. So when you know your body is reasonably comfortable, bring your attention onto your feet. And feel your feet touching the floor. Or the meditation cushion, or your sofa, wherever you're sitting. You can feel all your muscles in your feet, if there's any tension. In your feet or upper part of the feet. Just be aware of it. And through this kind attention, your muscles, your feet will become relaxed by themselves. Try to be aware of any sensations. Don't need to put a name on them. Any sensations, just be aware. And slowly, at your own pace, you can move to your legs, from your ankles up to your knees. So, any kind of sensations in your muscles, please be aware of it. And if you don't have any sensation, it's fine. It is so important to have this kind attitude towards our body, because this body is so helpful, and these feet and your legs carry so much our body weight throughout the day, and they've been doing it for so many years. So we are grateful for it. We can keep on scanning our lower legs, They start to become relaxed by themselves. This is the power of mindfulness. You don't need to do anything. You just need to have a kind attitude. And it starts to become relaxed. Now we gently bring our awareness to our thighs, and be aware of any sensations we might have in our leg. We look at our body as a friend who's been so helpful throughout all these years. Because this body is not ours. As Buddha says, you know, it's one of the five aggregates. You're not your body. This body comes from our parents. Right? And it grew up because of the food. We didn't do much. It's just a natural process. So we don't treat our body like our slave. We try to have a kind relationship towards it. we must have more loving kindness towards it. If you have metta, you become a good friend to your body. You'll get good feedback from it when you're sick. Sometimes people catch, good meditators catch sickness early. Now, we gently bring our awareness onto our back. All the way from your buttocks to your shoulders. You can feel your back touching the chair you're sitting on. Or any tension you might have. Just be aware of. And let this body do its thing. All you need to do is to be kind. So you can gently scan all the areas of your back from going up from the buttocks to your shoulders or going down from your shoulders. If your mind is wandering, whether in the past or future, you gently bring it back, because past is gone, you can't do anything about it, and future is very uncertain. There's no point thinking about it. If we stay in the present, our future would be good. Don't need to worry about the future. So all you need to do is to be kind. What do you have in this moment? Now we bring our attention onto the stomach area. And your chest area. And be aware of all the muscles or any kind of feelings or sensations you might have. And if we give metta to it, Now we move our attention onto our hands and arms. And you feel that you have more sensations in your hands and your arms. Compared to other parts of the body. And we try to stay in this present. Observing this old friend. And be grateful for it. For all the hard work it has done over these years. Now we gently bring our awareness to our neck. And be aware of all the muscles around the neck. Letting those muscles relax. Now we move upwards onto our face. Onto the skull. And be aware of all the muscles around your mouth. Around the forehead. Around the skull. And let them relax by themselves. So this kind attention. Now please keep on observing the body. Now we're going to be quiet for the next 5 minutes or so. And Are we coming towards the end of the meditation? Now ask yourself how you're feeling now. How your state of mind or your body state have changed. How relaxed do you feel compared to when you started? I'm going to ring the bell. After the third ring, please come out of meditation.
Thank you, Venerable. That was peaceful. That was so peaceful that my internet went to sleep in the middle, so I lost the last half. Fortunately, Merlin let me back in. So, are there any questions very quickly just on the meditation, on what you've just done before Venerable is invited to give a talk? All is silent. It feels very peaceful. Venerable, I don't know if this will suit you, but somebody asked in the chat box, I think it was Yvonne, I've lost all my chat, if you could talk about the Four Noble Truths. If you're prepared to talk about something else, please do whatever you wish.
What are the Four Noble Truths?
Yeah.
Okay.
If you want to talk about something else, please, you don't have to ask.
Okay, that's a hardcore. Usually people, I think, in Armadale group don't like to ask sort of like hardcore questions, but it's actually quite important. That's sort of a very essential Buddha's teachings, you know. I think the first noble truth is that there is suffering, right? And the second one is there's a cause of suffering, right? Cause of suffering is desire, you know. When you want things in the world, you know, you strive, you suffer, you know, you see somebody's a good house or a good car, you know, whatever you sort of like lack in life or you want, you know. Then you have all these desires, you know. And then he kind of says like there is a sort of like, you know, end to this suffering, right? So this sort of like suffering can be ended. And the last one is there is a path leading to the end of suffering. And that's Noble Eightfold Path. And which kind of like, you know, Buddha's teachings for enlightenment. You know, normally Ajahn Brahm kind of tend to say, oh, rather than suffering, because sometimes people get turned off, you know, oh, this whole Buddhist teaching here was about suffering, they suffered so much, all of that. He says, like, you know, there's happiness, right? And there's cause of happiness, right? So Ajahn Brahm's take is on, he kind of like to twist things around. But I think from the Buddha's perspective, he's looking at the very big picture of samsara, right? And samsara is like when you put the perspective of so many rebirths, so many countless of lives you cannot count, right? It's actually a very kind of like a full of suffering. It's very kind of a little happiness in there. That's why Buddha says there is suffering, right? But maybe to beginners we can say, oh yes, there's happiness, right? But a happiness you can have in this life, you know, of jhana, you know, and of enlightenment, you know, that's a big happiness, you know. But if we look at the all this, have a big perspective, you know, then it's a suffering, a lot of suffering, you know. Buddha has given like a really hardcore discourses to the monks. Maybe I shouldn't say it here. Maybe they're too hardcore for people here, right? So that's why he kind of says, but there's a lot of happiness to be have, you know. If you follow the Noble Eightfold Path, you know, Buddha says if you do good things, think about the good thoughts, you know, have a good view, your life would be filled with happiness. Right? And actually many enlightened monks in Theragatha, which is the verses of enlightened monks, and I think one of them says, oh, you know, this is a path, you know. It is sort of like, on the way it's a lot of happiness, and it ends up in big happiness, enlightenment, then it's gone. Yeah. But if we look at life in another way, is I think one of the Zen monk, he said it. He's like, life is getting on a boat, right? And you paddle it, but you know it's gonna sink. So we all know we're gonna die, you know. But the sad part is, after you drown, you know, with your boat together, you come back to the shore again. Then you start paddling again. Right? It's just like the Groundhog Day all and all over again, right? Yeah. But we don't sort of like think about these things, right? We are because so busy in our lives, you know. And all we normally what people want to learn, how can I make my life now comfortable or happy? Right? Yes, you can do all those things, which sort of like Buddha has given advice, follow the Noble Eightfold Path. It's quite simple, right? But when you have all those, when the desires, you know, all those wants of the world come into the picture, you know, you make your life difficult for you. Or the scenarios sometimes in life are harder, right? Sometimes people are stuck in those kind of situations where they cannot get out of it, right? If you look around the people who are stuck in sort of other parts where there are still wars going on nowadays, right? And they have other sorts of problems, right? Or this coronavirus pandemic, right? Compared to the samsara, right? All these lives, all this suffering, this COVID suffering is nothing comparatively. Right. Maybe in, I don't know, next year or maybe, I don't know, I'm not an expert. It's probably going to end soon. But this samsara these lives, they just continue on. There is no vaccine for it, right? But there is a vaccine, right? This is called Noble Eightfold Path, right? So, but it actually takes time, right? It's not kind of like easy to kind of get enlightened in a way, right? But Ajahn Brahm would say like otherwise, oh, it's so easy, you just follow the instructions, but people don't follow the instructions, that's why. Yeah, it's kind of like true. To kind of maybe, I don't know, certain extent. But these defilements of the mind won't let us, right? Because our minds are so much conditioned. You know, that's why we need to do more reflections, right? Read the Dhamma, right? Contemplate, meditate more, right? Surround ourselves by spiritual people, right? So it kind of leads to good motivation. That's why Buddha set up monasteries, you know, so he can make life for monastics easier. Yeah, I know in the outside world, it's probably not hard, easy for people, you know. Not everybody who's going to come in contact with you going to be easier sometimes to deal with, you know. But it also sometimes gives us a good opportunity to practice the teachings, right? And have patience. So that's why we kind of like, you know, inspire ourselves, right? Read the word of the Buddha, you know. And actually, the kind of like, I don't know, the strange thing is when you meet so many Christians, many kind of Christians talk about Bible say this and this. Like, but I never come across many Buddhists who says, oh, this Nikaya says this, right? People never actually quote, right? Or Dhammapada says this, right? They never actually say it. Right? But many of the teachings are so beautiful. Huh? And sometimes many kind of people talk about some of the, I don't know, some of the stories, which are not kind of like essential to the Buddha's path, you know. And many kind of traditional people, Buddhist people, get exposed to sort of these sort of stories or Jataka tales, you know, which are not the kind of core part of the Buddhist teachings, right? So it's good to read the suttas, you know, or good to read Dhammapada, you know, to inspire ourselves. So our life now can be much more easier. Yeah. So any more comments or questions? Wow, everybody's so silent, so peaceful.
That means it's all been beautiful. any questions? Anything else that you... Were you going to talk about something different, Venerable?
No. I didn't prepare anything.
Okay.
Yeah, like the usual.
So it might be helpful to just talk a little bit about stress because of lockdowns and COVID, and everybody involved here is in COVID in some situations, whether in Japan or Germany or here. And just some people are getting stressed and anxious about things. Just tips on how meditation can help us manage or reduce or prevent anxiety.
I think so many kind of like all these things come from anxiety and stress comes from, because we are get conditioned by all the news and the media that we watch, you know, or the fear, right? And people tend to pick up sort of like, you know, other people's energy. You know? That's why meditation is so important, you know. So you can distance yourself, right? And let your mind relax. When your mind is relaxed, you know, you don't get caught up with all the negativity that kind of surrounds you. So you tend to go, okay, I'm just observing, I'm just listening, right? I'm not going to act on it. So you become aware of it, you know, what goes into your ear. And essentially a lot of it is has to do with the lot of, if you from a looker from the deeper meaning, is our sense of self. Our sense of self, we have strong sense of self, we tend to have fear. We tend to have more defilements. Right? So we try to let that go. You know, don't need to worry about so many things about this COVID, right? Like I said before, samsara is a much sort of like, you know, bad COVID, right? So we kind of like a, try to, on the other hand, we try to inspire ourselves, right? And lockdowns are great for meditators, you know. You asked me in the beginning that like how's lockdown is affecting us. And I go, no, it's affecting us in a very good way. Monks are much more happier, right? So people come, very few people come, and they drop the food. Mostly Anagarika has been cooking in the kitchen. So, and so less headache for us. We have few dishes to choose from. So less headache, right? That's the easier part, right? Then we have less noise in the monastery, right? And our lunch finishes quite quickly. And Ajahn Brahm was so happy, he's like, yes, I can have just my lunch and I go back to my cave. I don't need to hang around, right? So this COVID is not gonna last. So it's a good opportunity for you, you know, if you're staying at home, is to meditate, right? So it's kind of a, like a blessing in disguise for so many people, right? So you can develop yourself, right? In the longer run, it's going to help you. That's why I kind of like say it to sometimes to kind of like families or extended family, that if you're a meditator, you know, when you get older, you know, you'll be by yourself mostly, and meditation going to help you a lot, right? So now with this COVID isolation, all these lockdowns, you know, they're not hard to manage if it's not affecting you, like, you know, in a financial way really bad, you know. Otherwise, it's not going to last. So while you have the opportunity, you know, please develop yourself, right? It's kind of a good investment for your coming lives, in this life as well, and coming lives. Yeah? You are forced to have a retreat, you know. If you had never been to a meditation retreat, you know, it's your opportunity now. You know, put on the guided meditations, you know, if you're a beginner, you know, and then do it by yourself. Actually, there are, I think, Ajahn Brahm's 9-day retreat talks on the BSWS channel. I think in the playlist, if you search. So you can do a 9-day retreat by yourself. Put on the talks by serial wise and have these enjoy your retreats over and again. So lockdowns are not that bad. So just look at the positive side of things.
Great. Thank you, Venerable. Are there any other questions from anybody? If not, we finish a few minutes early. I've got 3 announcements to give. So maybe we can go to announcements. Is that all right, Venerable?
Yeah, sure. That's great. Okay.
Question to you. Can you confirm when rain starts so that we know exactly when the monks will no longer teach us?
So the rain retreat would start on 25th.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the first day we need to have a layperson.
Yeah.
So teaching is the 25th.
Yeah, so 25th onwards, yeah.
Okay, thank you. That solves one problem for us. That's great. That all right, Marlene? Yes, Marlene's happy.
Yeah, and you want to know the last one as well?
Yes, please. Marlene's shaking, nodding her head.
Okay. No, because I was just sending emails today to Amanda in city. To Nalamara Center, so I remember the dates. So our rains retreat would end on 21st or 22nd of October. So after that, whatever is the Tuesday, probably it would be the beginning.
So 21st of October is a Thursday. Full moon's October the 6th.
Yeah, no, it's 21st, so that's our ending, and so it probably would start October 26th. That would be probably the beginning.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the resumption of, yeah, for the monks. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Marlene. All right, thank you.
Okay.
Marlene and Catherine are trying to organize the program, so thanks to both of you. Okay, so we've just got some notices. Just in case you haven't already emailed, Ajahn Brahm's 70th birthday is coming up, and there's an incredible number of celebrations being organised, many of them online, that you can all join in. So if you'd like to follow the link that Marlene sent, we're having a week of metta meditation. You can write your stories to him. You can make cards for him. I don't know if he knows all this is going on. is inviting donations to Newbury Monastery, which is a new monastery. So if anyone wants to give him a present, he wants you to buy a brick for the new monastery. Is it Newbury? Is that correct?
Yeah, Newbury Buddhist Monastery. So it's going to be a meditation retreat center.
Okay, all right, that's in Victoria, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, Marlene will send the link again next week, but just to really look at it, because I read it all this morning and was quite overwhelmed by how many options there were in life. I'm going to buy some bricks. I'm going to buy some bricks and I'm going to do the week of metta meditation.
Okay, not the 2 bad bricks, though.
No. Yeah, well, very quick. Very good, that's good. So just encourage you all to join in the celebration for Ajahn's 70th. And then for those of you who missed last time, we have an online care line. So on a Wednesday evening, so if anybody is getting stressed, wherever you are in the world, you can join in. There's a WhatsApp number and there's a local number. And there are trained lay people there to listen to you, so you can actually go to a Buddhist perspective, because a lot of the care lines are predominantly Christian. So and as an ex-lifeline counsellor, I find it's fabulous that we've actually got a Buddhist care line now. So if you want to make use of that, all the details are on the Buddhist Society website, bswa.org. Please go and use that. And then, because Venerable mentioned that maybe we could actually read the teachings, and I loved your analogy to the Christians always quote the Bible, but most of us have never actually read our teachings, I've just put up in the chat box, you can subscribe, this is only one way of doing it, but you can subscribe to free monthly Dhammapada teachings from the UK monastery. They're beautiful reflections. They choose one teaching from the Dhammapada and then just give you a paragraph explaining it from their perspective. And I've been getting them for years and find them really useful. So I've put the Dhammapada at ratanagiri.org.au. Is that the name of the monastery? The email address up there. But also I went to their site this week because they send one out every full moon. They also have online now all the past reflections in three books of free PDFs, so you can download them all. Now, there's about 100 pages per book, so you may not want to be quite so mad as me and printed out at one of them, but they're all available for you. They're free, and I just personally find them really helpful because the Dhammapada teaching is there, and then a senior member of the Sangha actually helps me to understand its meaning for me to reflect both on the teaching and on what they say. So that's just one way of doing it. Is there anything, is there another way you'd like to suggest, Venerable, that we read or where we start?
Yeah, also our sutta classes, which are done on YouTube channel. So I think Sunday classes. So I think senior monks Ajahn Brahm or Ajahn Brahmali did do the suttas, and they kind of like explain. So they are quite good as well. And if you want, you can go on to, yes, that's a really great book, in Buddha's words. Yes, by Bhikkhu Bodhi. Yeah.
It's a good starting.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That one, or you can also go to suttacentral.net.
Yes, of course you can.
Yeah, and yeah. There's a question here. What are the differences between Diga, Majjhima and Sanyutta Nikaya?
We've only got 1 minute.
1 minute, okay.
Can you answer that in 1 minute?
Yeah, sure. So the differences between these ones, Diga means long, so long discourses, and Majjhima means like middle length discourses, and Sanyutta means like they are connected. So all those suttas are compiled. If they are connected to each other, related to each other, they are put in one section. Yeah, that's actually basically the difference, right? So you have like discourses with to the devas or this particular monk, and they, all of them are grouped into one sort of like area. So that's basically the difference, yeah.